that his eye is on the sparrow.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We have enjoyed this service thus far, and I do have a few things that the Lord put on my spirit to talk with you about. And I have a few comments based on some things that were said here in the service today.
Yes.
And we'll go ahead and dig into that. Amen. I feel very blessed to be here for this occasion. And I want to say thanks to the musicians, Brother Martin, and also Robert Goosby, our drummer, for coming over to help make this a success. Amen. And so we are going to go and read just a word here from the Lord just to get us started. And then I'll try to discuss that stuff without keeping you too long this evening, if possible. Amen. Y'all know how it is. But as I always tell people, that's one reason why I make notes, is to help me not to limit what I have to say. Because if I just teach without notes, I don't know when to quit. So thank God for the notes. Amen. We're going to look in the book of the Revelation. That'll be easy for you to find. Last book in the Bible.
Yeah.
Amen. And we're going to talk just a little bit from a few verses here. Now, what I'd like to do, I'm going to just do a summary. We've been teaching through the book of Revelation. We got started a few months ago, and we haven't gotten very far, let me say, because we've been taking time to really dig into the message that's in the book. So it was put in my spirit, since this is a 53rd anniversary, for your ushers to talk with you a little from this epistle. And it is, it's kind of a, let's call it a composite, because it has epistles within it that John wrote letters to the seven churches. Most of you know that. But let's just read a little of this first chapter, and this will get our wheels going to get us started. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
Yeah.
Amen. We'll just stop right there for the reading. We've read the first three verses to the book of Revelation. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated in the sanctuary. And we're going to kind of go through this section just a little bit. I want to talk to you about your Christian report card.
Amen.
And this is a kind of an interesting thing, because on the way over here, we discussed this as kind of a side topic in one of the classes. And Brother Douglas had just said to me while we were eating today, he's been thinking about how is his report card every day. Because I mentioned it in one of the classes. And he said, now I've been starting to analyze whatever I do and whatever I think, and saying, well, what kind of grade did you get today? And so he's been examining himself.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing. I didn't even tell him that this was already on my paper. Here, he just mentioned it at lunch. I said, okay, well, he's thinking about that. And it's a blessing, because God had put it in my spirit to talk with you about it. Because like this verse says here, this final verse, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Then he says, for the time is at hand.
Yeah.
So this is a letter that was written probably, we think, around maybe in the first century after the church had been founded. And John, of course, as he goes on to tell us, was on the Isle of Patmos, where he had been exiled there. Rumor has it, this is not in the scripture, but it had been said that since Jesus said, went to Peter, that what is it to you if John, because he asked, what about John, when Jesus told Peter how he would be put to death?
Yeah.
And they were walking up the beach in John 21. And apparently John was behind him, and he turned around and said, what about John? And Jesus said, well, what is it to you if he stays until I come back? That's not your business, in so many words, Peter. Don't worry about John. You follow me.
Yes.
And so that's what he told Peter. So a rumor went around that they tried different stuff to kill John, and it was not successful. So they said, okay, we know what we'll do for you. We take the Isle of Patmos. We'll leave you out there, let the animals eat you. Now, I don't know how he got out there, but that was a rumor that went around, and this is published in some of the writings in the early period of the church. But we know that underneath it all, let's say that God had a reason why he was out there. God's reason is, I want to single you out so I can give you this revelation of Jesus Christ. Some things that are not disclosed in all the rest of the Bible. That, think about how the Bible would be without the book of Revelation. Now, there's a lot of folklore in the church about the book of Revelation. People, oh, you better not read that. And there's a lot of scary stuff people try to say about it. But this tells us that it's a blessing if you read the book or if you hear the book. Either one, either read it or hear it. It's one of the few books in the Bible that says that there is a blessing. Like in verse 3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So what he's saying is, and you and I, think, live in a unique period in church history. This was a unique period in church history at the time that John received this, which would end up being the final book of the Bible. And God hasn't had anything else to say to the church since. Because he said, I'm done. He sealed it with a curse. If we skip to the back, chapter 22, verse 18, he says, do not add nor subtract from the words of the book of this prophecy. Because if you do, I will subtract your name from the book of life and from the things that are written in this book. And if you add to what I said, I will add the plagues that are written in this book to you. So God sealed the book with a curse at the end of this book. And so basically it's a very pertinent book. And I don't think we should overlook it or skip it in any way. In fact, when we read it, it gives us some marching orders, or so to speak. It gives us a way to evaluate ourselves as a church. And this can be individual or as a corporate body of believers. And so I think it's very important, because what we can do here is we can find out, what is our Christian report card going to look like? And you have time to make adjustments. Don't you wish when you were in school that you had just gotten a heads up on what your report card was going to look like before you got it? I can think of a few I got that I wish I had known. I might not have had been home. And I'm just pulling your leg, because I didn't always get the best grades all the time on certain things. But had you have known ahead of time, it would have been a good thing for me to say, I know what's up with this. And so I better tighten up on this, and that. See, and it gives you an opportunity to look at how the grading will be. And so the Lord has given us full disclosure. This is not unusual. The Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. You know, so we were constantly admonished to examine our own selves, which is, I think, is a great thing, because I always have to take time and reflect on who am I and how am I doing. There's so many negative things in the world that militate against your faith. We're getting more and more of it. I would say right now in this time that the church is under a greater duress than it ever has been in the history of the church. You see what I'm saying? The reason is because now we live in a post-Christian era, they call it, here in America. The country was relatively sound, and there was a lot more righteousness in the United States when it was first founded. And as I mentioned this morning in the message, but people still, even with that, closed a blind eye to certain sin that other people were doing, like enslaving black people and that type of thing. And other people said, well, we ain't doing that, but if you're doing it, that's on you. And they closed a blind eye to it for 200 years. And it took a long time before that got corrected. And even though it's corrected, there are still issues in our culture. You know, and I'm not so much into the situation of all the political stuff that goes on today. I like to keep my mind and my thoughts in God's word. I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with Black Lives Matter or any of that, but all lives matter. And people want to know what's wrong with the culture now, and we think we can just put out signs, we must stop killing each other, and that's going to do something. But 50 years ago, we dismissed God from the culture. We told him we don't want prayer in the schools anymore. You see, we don't want the Ten Commandments posted anywhere. We want you to take your nativity scenes down and put them away, because that's expressing religion in the public square. All of that. And then you get 50 years of people who had no common exposure to God and his grace. And then they start killing each other, running stop signs. Law doesn't mean anything. How many of you you have seen people just go right through stop signs and everything, traffic lights, they look at no police, boom, I'm gone. And that's called a spirit of lawlessness.
Yeah.
And it's sweeping the whole country.
Yeah.
And people are being killed, little babies are getting killed, grandmothers are being killed on their porch, minding their own business, because now our country has been subjected to a spirit of lawlessness.
Yes.
And then we want to say, well, what can we do and how can we fix it? Well, you know what? You got 50 years where you messed it up.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get fixed overnight with popping up a sign or serving barbecue on the weekend.
No.
That's not going to fix it. You have messed up big time because you dismissed God. And God said, okay, let's see how you do on your own.
Yeah.
And so God will allow a culture to go into that kind of a phase, mm-hmm. just to show you, this is how you're going to get along without me. When I was centered in the culture, you had much less murder and rape and robbery and killing and all that. People cared about life.
Yeah.
You see, but now we live in a culture where people don't even care about life. You see, and so the church still stands even in the midst of that.
Amen.
And so you and I have to remember who we are and whose we are.
Yes.
See, it's important for me and you to remember. Now the Bible does say prayer changes things.
Yes, it does.
So we want to continue in prayer.
Yes.
We want to continue
Amen.
In faith.
Yes.
We want to continue in the Word.
Yes.
We want to continue to show the world and the people in our lives the love of God.
Yes.
Because it's the love of Jesus Christ that attracts us to the church.
That's it.
And so being loving is paramount.
Yes.
So as John went on to say here, he goes in chapter 2 to talk about the seven churches. Now there's been a lot of talk about what are these seven churches and are these churches that have already come and gone and all of that. And I'm just going to give you my opinion on it. They talk about these seven churches, the church at Ephesus, and the church at Smyrna, the church at Pergamum, the church at Thyatira, the church at Sardis, and the church of Philadelphia, and the church of the Laodiceans. Here, all of the churches that are mentioned, and I kind of just put them all down here just so I could take a look at the report card. It's an interesting thing. Just do this when you get time. I'm not going to read all of that to you today. But let's just say the church at Ephesus, which was one of the more foundational churches, even has another epistle written, the epistle to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian letter, we would call it. He said there that I have this one thing against you. You have left your first love. And he says they did all these other things really well. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and all you can bear with them that are evil. See that? Thou hast tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne in patience, and for my name's sake thou hast labored and hast not fainted. This church was very profitable, and let's say it was prosperous in the things of God.
Yes.
It's a better way to say it. But he said, but I have somewhat against you because thou hast left thy first love. I would check myself right there. Why are you doing what you do in the church? Do you do it because you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is there some other motive for why you do what you do? So we have to examine ourselves, like Paul said, to see whether we be in the faith. And he moves on. The church is Smyrna. He says some things about them. Just to condense this down, I think you'll get the idea. And I kind of want this to be something that you meditate on and pray on over the next so many days. The Ephesian church, you could say, is the loveless church. They left their first love. And you know, the Bible says that we love God. Why? Because he first loved us. See, he loves you just like you are. He understands everything you're dealing with, everything you're going through. He knows about our culture and how messed up it is. And he planted you here just kind of like what he says, what's said about Esther in the book of Esther, for such a time as this. That's why you're here. That's why you're planted where you are. It's not an accident. God knows where you are. He knows who you are. And he knows how you feel about him. Jesus even said things like this, that he who is ashamed to own me before men, I will be ashamed to own him before my Father who is in heaven. So do you crumble up when people start to talk about religious things, and are you afraid to speak your mind? If you are, I pray on that.
Yes.
Remember, remember that you love him, and there's nothing that they can do.
Yeah.
Jesus said, not one hair on your head will in any wise perish
right.
if you take a stand for me. So don't be like the loveless church. Speak about the one you love when you're in the public. The church in Smyrna is known as the suffering church.
Mm-hmm.
They suffered because they took persecution and flack because they did stand up for the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And the church in Pergamos is called the church of Satan's city.
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. It's the place where Satan dwells. There's a lot of people who tolerate a lot of evil stuff within the church.
Yes.
So you got to be discerning. You and I have to really be discerning about where we are and what we consider to be worship. There's a lot of stuff going on. It could be worship, but who are they worshiping?
Yes.
Be very careful when you look at that. The church at Thyatira was called the adulterous church because they had other gods and things of that sort. Other things were of high priority rather than just the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the church at Sardis, which is the dead church. He said they looked like they were alive, but they were dead. Then you have the church at Philadelphia. They got a pretty good report card. They were the faithful church.
Yes.
The word Philadelphia is from two Greek words, phileo and adelphos, the church of brotherly love, if you will. And so they got a pretty decent report. Then there's the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church.
Yeah.
We're not hot, we're not cold, we're just barren. But what we want to do and what I want to admonish you to do, New Prospect being our sister church, which we love you guys.
Yes.
And we are one as far as it goes in many ways.
Yes.
So that's why it's a blessing for me to be here to share with you on this 53rd anniversary.
Yes.
Because we have a lot in common.
Yes, we do.
The area may be going down, but what about our spirit?
All right.
Are we on fire for the Lord?
Yes.
We need to crank it up, stir up that gift like Paul told Timothy.
Yes.
Realize you are gifted. A lot of times the world and the flesh makes us want to die down and just get in the background and blend in. See, but God has called you and put you in the place you are so you can be very vocal. And very forward. You don't have to be disgusting or any of that, like getting in people's business and all that. But always show the love of Christ, whatever you do. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God, who in my life can I speak to and minister to them in a need that shows them the love of Christ? And then evaluate yourself. The biggest thing I think that that we should really do is think about how you pray, because there's nothing that me and you can do at all. I was telling this to Antoine. He's here with us. He's one of our most recent members.
Yes.
Young man sitting right back there and about midway to aisle there. And I was telling him that God has sent you here because you have some things that you can do.
Yes.
And he's trying to help you find where you fit in the body of Christ.
Right.
You know what? You have a specific place in the body of Christ.
Yes.
And God has put you there. Nobody else can do the job that God has prepared you to do. You know, and we might even look at ourselves and say, you know, a lot of us are aging and some of us are having health issues and all of that. That doesn't stop a thing. The Spirit of God is with you and the power of the Lord is in you.
Yes.
If the Spirit of God is in you and the power of God is in you, you are well equipped to witness for Christ. So don't ever let the devil, that's why Jesus said, when you light a candle, don't put it under a bushel. Put it on the lampstand so it can give light to the whole house. See, the devil tell us all, go get your bushel, cover it up. You know, he don't want you, he wants you to die down. But God wants you to crank it up and fan the flames wherever you are. This is something we should pursue in a manner of prayer.
All right.
We need to learn to pray. Ask God about all the people in your life. Go to him in sincere prayer. You know, I've been seeing a lot of stuff, and I'm just going to mention this. This is one of those side things. I heard Pastor Bartlett say that he has very few friends. I feel like that, too. I just said that to my wife just yesterday. Now, I have very few friends, and I think it's because people know what manner of person you are, and so they try to keep a distance from you. See, so friends may be few and far between. I'm talking about a true friend, really. Like the Bible said, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. See, so you may only have a few. But Jesus also said that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. See, so if you're on the right road, don't worry about it. You know, just tighten up the relationships you have with the people who you are. You know, they are friends. They are in your corner. Think about this now. The Lord came all the way out of heaven.
Yes, he did.
God the Son, we mentioned this morning, got off his high holy throne, face to face with the Father, came all the way down to occupy a body of flesh, came through all those 42 generations to be born of Mary, see, by the Holy Spirit, in order that he could call 12 disciples and evangelize the whole world with just a group of 12. The 11 excluding Judas and the Apostle Paul. And all of the saints who are here in this room and in every church are here because of those few people that he worked with. Yes, he preached to the multitudes, but his primary focus was on those 12. See, which is the full set when you start to look at the things of God. Now, I believe these seven churches represent the church of all ages, in all of its ages.
Yeah.
And I think it includes the church today.
Yeah.
And I believe these analyses are given to us so that we can look at them and say, this pleases God, this does not.
Yeah.
This pleases God, this does not. It gives us a way to measure who we are and where we stand.
That's it.
And you know what? If you could get your report card early, like I said, when you were in school, you might like to change a few things before it came time to give it to your parents to turn it over. So that's the way I've been thinking. And I've been looking at this, and I'm praying about it. I've been seeing a lot of people coming out with all kinds of fancy robes and different stuff, talking about they represent God. You know what I did the other day? I'm just going to share this with you. It's personal. I went over to Rural King and bought me some sackcloth. And I'm going to make me a covering of sackcloth, because I believe that's where we are. Wow. Sackcloth was put on to show that we show ourselves contrite before God.
Right.
And we want the power of God in our lives.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to get fancy. I'm trying to get back to the sackcloth, because I want the real power of God. I'm not looking to try to impress anybody with a fancy robe or any of that.
Yes.
You see what I mean? So, and I'm serious. I really did. Nobody even knows that. You were the first people I mentioned this to. My wife doesn't even know. I went and purchased some sackcloth. And I'm going to be putting it on in my prayer class. You see? Because I'm thinking about this is the time for the church to get serious. Get serious. Don't let these people discourage you. God will hear and answer prayer. If you and I listen and speak to God, evaluate yourself rightly, God has never changed. And so I love the fact that he gave us this information so that we can analyze ourselves. And you'll see that you're living in a special time, and you're going to come in to be a blessing to somebody if you just tune in to what the Lord is doing. These are very special times, and you and I need to tune in. We don't need to tune out. The world is telling you, tune out. Get that out of our face. We don't want to hear that. You know, they're saying same sex, everything is okay. They say nothing is an abomination to God. Then you got so-called preachers telling you, we want to fill the building. So we say, you know, all the grace of God will cover you for everything. Now you have to know that's straight from the pit of hell. How's it going to cover you for salvation if you repent? But see, the Bible says God is looking for a church without a spot or a blemish. So what do you think that will be? Will that be people who are trying to do things God's way or do things man's way? See what I'm saying? And I don't say this to step on anybody's toes. Anybody can come from any lifestyle and be saved. But when you're saved, you're going to be on a path of sanctification. Whoever God saves, he also sanctifies. For the rest of your life, you're in the process of sanctification. You know, I still have baggage myself, and I hate it. If you want to be perfectly truthful, I'm not totally pristine in all my thoughts. So I give myself that evaluation. Sometimes it's a spontaneous thing. You're out in the traffic and you see something, somebody will say something, or you'll see somebody do something, your mind goes back to the pit sometimes, and then you have to check yourself. I know that don't happen to nobody over here. Very sanctified. Y'all have gotten passed out. You know, and sometimes the way people dress, sometimes they walk by and you can't bar it. It's just astonishing. You know, and you go, oh my goodness, you have to, if you don't turn your head, your mind is going to go somewhere it shouldn't be going. You see what I'm saying? Because they're putting it in your face, so to speak. And this is the kind of culture we live in. So you got to condition yourself for these things. Because the world's not going to change. It's probably going to get worse. Jesus said, so shall it be as it was in the days of Noah, as it is in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man comes back. He said, well, he eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the flood came and swept them away.
Yes.
See what I'm saying? So it's going to be just like it is, and it'll probably get worse.
Right.
So I think the church needs to wake up the saints.
Yeah.
Get you to tune in, get your prayer life tightened up.
Yes.
Read the word, see what God is telling you, the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Realize he still loves you, and all of the people practicing whatever it is they're dealing with, he is still able to save them.
Yes.
He wants to save them.
Yes.
He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Yes.
See, God says, I have no delight in destroying people at all. But the fact is, it's going to get to the point where there's a cutting off point, and that time is coming before we know it.
Right.
We can see the nations right now mounting up against Israel.
Yes.
And God has put them in the tiniest little speck of real estate on the earth. It's the powder keg of destruction for the whole world. Everybody's tuning in on Israel.
Yes.
You see, and Israel needs to repent. This is the thing that blows me. The majority of Israel doesn't believe in the gospel of Christ.
That's right.
But God is holding them there because he promised Abraham that he would preserve his seed.
Yes.
So he means his physical seed as well as the spiritual seed.
Yes.
Right now the church is the spiritual seed of Abraham.
Yes.
See, and it includes Jews and Gentiles.
That's right.
See, but there's going to come a day, and it's already written in the word, I wish we had time, but we don't, to talk with you about Zechariah's prophecy, where God is going to turn around the nation of Israel.
Yes.
And they're going to accept their Messiah.
Yes.
They think he hasn't come yet. They're preparing to build a temple which is going to be occupied by Antichrist.
Yes.
Eventually. They're building it now. They have the plans already made. They have bred and raised the red heifer, which is necessary to sanctify the temple and the priestly elements and garments and all those things. Stacking that all up right now. And so there's coming a day very soon. We sing that song soon and very soon. We're going to go see the king. That's true. See what I mean? So let us be ready. Let us be prayed up and realize that God loves us. He loves them. And you and I have been called for such a time as this. And so I want you to see just one more thing, and I'll be able to take my seat. Treasure the friendships that you have.
Yes. Yes.
And be a little bit more diligent. Realize that we all have to stick a little closer together.
Yes.
Rather than being scattered out. I heard some news about Good Hope. And we tried to reach out to them. We wanted to really help them reestablish something to keep that part of the church going. And I talked with the pastor, and he said we haven't really heard totally everything with that. But let's pray for them.
Yes.
And let's open up our hearts and our doors and whatever we need to do to help them. I called and told them, St. Timothy's doors are open for you. And we can help you. We'll help you. You can have your service another time if you like. You know, on the same day or whatever day you pick, we'll make an arrangement to help you. Because the church is going to continue to be persecuted. And so I hate to see one of our sister churches just go out like that.
Yes, sir.
And we don't know officially what's the deal there, but pray on that. That's the kind of thing we want to pray on, because we want to help the brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
And we know they have been faithful up till now, so we just want them to bear in. So just as I prepare to close, I'd like you to think about this. We had this morning in our message. I was speaking on the administration of love as an act of the will. In other words, you have to love people the way God does, but it has to be because of your will. You will to do it. Your heart might be a little squeamish about going out on the limb to reach out to a person who might be on the fringes or into something that's really something that's scary to you, so to speak. But you have to do what Paul said. He said here to the Colossians, if then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. But ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
See that? You're secure. If you're in Christ, you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says you shall be saved.
Yes.
So, as long as you know you're saved, that means your old life is dead.
That's it.
You've been raised up to a newness of life.
Yes.
See? And God did that so that you can be alive to his word.
Yes.
And alive to his spirit.
Amen.
So he can use you to reach out to others. And that's the whole process of discipleship. But it will have to be an act of your personal will.
Yes.
You may say, man, well, it's inconvenient. Or, oh, I don't have the time. Or there will be a million excuses that will come in your mind when it comes time for you to serve the Lord. So you will have to say, I am going to do this. Set your mind to it. Let it act of your will, not so much your emotions, because our emotions are fallen just like the rest of us. But we have to sometimes say no to emotions and yes to God. And that's what we have to do. You have to intentionally do that. You may have to pray on that. It may not be a spontaneous thing that you can do, but you can do it. You've been equipped. And the Holy Spirit is there. He will lead you and guide you. So he said, you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then he shall also appear with him in glory. Yes. See, that's what that means. Your future is secured in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Because God does save wretches. You know why? Because that's all there are. Nothing but wretches. There is nobody who's so pristine that they could get through on their own merits.
Yeah.
Everybody needs the blood of Jesus, or they will not be saved. Then Paul's admonition to the Colossian church is mortify, therefore. Mortify means put to death, therefore, your members which are upon earth. In other words, start putting the sin in your life to death.
Yes.
Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry.
Yes.
See? So that's the purpose of salvation. Don't let somebody tell you, some smooth-talking preacher with a fancy robe, tell you, oh, you're going to be fine. Just dwell on in that sin. That's like the error of Balaam. Balaam told Balak what to do, how to make the children of Israel sin, so God would judge them. See, because he couldn't speak a curse on them. They hired him and he took the money to speak a curse over the people. But he said, you know what, I can't speak a curse because I'm the prophet of God. So what you do is you just make them continue on in sin and then God will rebuke them. That was his philosophy. So that's called the error of Balaam. So we have to watch out for all these things. That's mentioned to the Laodicean church and some of the churches in the letters, in the seven letters to the churches. So we need to be aware. I think this is a way you and I get the report card early. And I can examine my church and my position in the church, find out what can I do. And what do I need to pray about in order to execute the things that God wants done? And it'll be even more so very, very terribly important in the latter days. That's why he says, as you see the day drawing near, to set your mind on these things.
Yes.
See, we can see it. I mean, it's just like a hand right on the wall. That the stuff's going down quick. And people are being ushered in and said they will heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why you see churches, big mega churches, and people have very little doctrine that they're being taught.
Yes, sir.
Doctrine is being put on the back burner. And I know you happen to be in a church where your pastor believes in sound doctrine. All the pastors I have known here personally have been teachers of sound doctrine.
Amen.
You know, and I attribute some of their teaching to my situation right now being in ministry.
Amen.
So you have been there. So yeah, the numbers may start to look thin, but don't ever worry about it.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. Find out what can I do to step up my position.
Yes.
And you got your report card ahead of time. God says, I love you just like you are.
Yes.
And that's why I will tell you. He said, those whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. That's what Jesus said. And so we're seeing that. Study all the word. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, this is over your head. Oh, you don't need to go here. Yes, you do. Get in there. Study to show thyself approved unto God, as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And God will direct your steps. And he'll cause you to be here for another 53 years if he should tarry.
All right.
So you don't have to worry about that. You're covered.
Yes.
So now tune yourself up. What do I need to do to make myself more effective for God? Right where I am. See, because everyone in here sees people. You have people in your life I will never see. I got people in my life you won't ever see. We can even be in the same city, and there's some folks you know, no one else knows them but you, out of all the people you meet with at church. So start to pray.
Yes.
God will give you exactly what you need. And he's already prepared you. You just need to move out on his word. So I want to take my seat, and I want to say that if you're here and you are not saved, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's the only one who could have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'll come again to receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. It's his desire that you would be saved.
Oh, yes,
and he's paid the full price for you. There's nothing else you need to add. Just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean not to your own understanding. and you will be saved. He said, believe that God has raised him from the dead. Amen. So we hope that these words have put some things in your spirit that will get you onto the track that God wants you to be on even a little bit more deeply. It did to me. It really did. It set my mind where I know I got some stuff I have to pray about. Because there's some things that won't get right. There's some stuff that you won't understand until you go in prayer. Prayer is going to be the key. Amen. So I take my seat and I thank you for the invitation. And may God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Amen.